Well, hi, everybody. This is Kyler Bingham with Salt Lake Dirt. We are continuing our coverage of the Slam Dance Film Festival 2024. And I had the chance to watch a very incredible film that has stuck with me. It's called Love and Work. And we have the filmmaker behind it with us today, Pete Oz. Am I pronouncing that right, Pete?
You are.
Awesome. So Pete Oz is here. He is the director, editor, producer. You shot it, you co-wrote it. You're heavily involved in the film, and I thought it was wonderful. Can you tell us a bit about it? I just love the concept.
Yeah, it's a dystopian and utopian comedy that takes place in a world where it's illegal to have a job. And I think it sort of ends up feeling like an episode of The Twilight Zone.
It does. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think like it just made me think just that the dynamic we have as a culture with work and just how the theme is brought up multiple times in the film, but that like all or nothing, one path, a different path. And it's so true. I mean, since you were part of a team who wrote this, the people who star in the film are co-writers as well. How did the idea come to you?
The idea came first just by seeing the space of where the shoe factory takes place. Mm-hmm. I saw this kind of like empty room, this empty warehouse room, and which belonged to this residency called 100 West that's in Corsicana, Texas, where we filmed. And it's a space that they have or had actually, but would provide to artists to create art in, whether it's a studio or a present or an exhibition space. And I saw it and just thought, this is a beautiful room to do something in. And I started to imagine like what would take place here. And I started to imagine like a shoe factory in the 20s or something for the war effort, where you're sort of seeing like Rosie the Riveter characters making boots for the army or something.
Yeah.
And so just like that image was there, and then started having a conversation with Stephanie Hunt, who's an actress, Texas-based, who I had made a film with before, about this room that I saw and about this idea of this factory. And in that conversation, we both expressed the fact that we don't really like, we don't want to make like a pro-manufacturing movie.
Yeah.
It's like it's ruining the world. It's causing all of our climate crisis and all this stuff. And so then Stephanie said this thing, which is like, well, what's a factory that doesn't make anything?
Yeah.
And it's like that concept just like got our wheels turning about like, what is this world?
I just thought it was, without giving spoilers, just like the idea of underground jobs and mm-hmm. there's an abundance of stuff, so it's like that's why the world's in this situation, but just like this need to work on a human level it is there, but it has become like grotesquely unbalanced mm-hmm. in our lives. So it is just like it's really funny, but it has that Twilight Zone feel where there's like some very thought-provoking elements to it. One thing I did want to mention, I loved the music in it. The music, so Charles Watson is a musician here. I'd never heard of him, and now I am a fan, and I just thought this was incredible. How did you come upon his music?
I had made a music video for him about 15 years ago. He had this band in the UK called Slow Club. And I made a music video for him off their first album. I ended up making another music video for him years later, but just became friends with him from then.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ended up doing the score for a movie I made called Youngstown. And I had a great experience with him working there. And then, and love his music.
Yeah.
Love the music he continues to make post Slow Club. He releases solo albums. And I think I've even like put some of his music just in the background of scenes and stuff, but any opportunity to work with him is great. And when doing the first cut of this movie, I was trying to figure out like, what is the music going to be? And there had been this little bit of an idea with Stephanie of maybe this movie should be a musical. And I think there's even like still traces of that.
Sure.
In the movie. And so then when putting music in, I thought, instead of score, what if it's actually songs? And what if the songs are like made for the movie and speak to the movie in some way, speak to those scenes, speak to like the story being told. And once I realized that, it was pretty obvious that Charles would be a great collaborator for that because he's such a good singer songwriter.
Yeah. Incredible stuff. I absolutely loved it. So, you know, you're probably going to get sick of this question, but the choice to shoot. And I think I don't want to, I have my ideas, of course, but like the choice to shoot in black and white. I love black and white photography. That's like, I went to school for that out of high school, in the early 2000s. And so, whenever I get the chance to watch a modern black and white film, I'm biased towards it. I love it. So I love the look of the film. What were the decision to go in that direction?
Yeah, definitely the decision was recognizing that the story, we kept saying like, when is this? Is this the future? But like things are sort of simplified and it almost started to feel like the past.
Yeah.
And making it black and white just gave it this other quality that made it feel out of time. And so then just as I started to now imagine the movie, once I had, you know, I had taken pictures on my phone of like these different locations that we were going to shoot. And I started just, you know, editing them and doing the saturation slider to black and white. And then once I saw that, it was like, okay, this is definitely the movie. This is the correct feeling. And then like also realizing that a touch point, a reference point of the movie is also like the first opening scene, not like the literal opening scene, but the beginning of Eraserhead when he's just like walking through that empty factory space. I'm like that area is also where this story takes place. It's like how it feels to me. So again, just kind of like this black and white, this is the correct decision to make for this movie.
I love it. And then like the line that she says, like something like the world, it ain't black and white. I mean, I just got a kick out of that. But I love the film. Let's talk about Slam Dance. When did you first hear, tell me about when you heard the news that you had gotten into Slam Dance and like, what was that like? What did that feel like?
I had been living in Los Angeles for 10 years and I had decided to leave. And I was packed up all my stuff in my apartment and I was loading stuff into my car. And there was a little, maybe like 40 minute window before some friends were going to come over for like some goodbye drinks. And in that window, I got a phone call and it was from Slam Dance to tell me that they want to premiere the movie. And it felt so good. It felt, you know, it's validating, but also it felt like I was making the right choices in my life. you know, just like, and like I took it as a sign that like, yes, I am supposed to be, you know, taking the next step in my own personal adventures as well. So it felt really, really good. It's such a, you know, it's such a strange, weird movie. It is. I know this. And it requires some other people to see something in it and also choose to put their stamp of approval on it, for other people to also choose to spend any time watching it.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful that Slam Dance saw something in it. It's a beautiful film festival, 30-year history, 4 filmmakers by filmmakers. It feels like a perfect fit for Slam Dance.
It really does.
Couldn't be happier.
I can attest to that for sure. It really does. And so let's mention the screening. I don't have the screening times on me. I apologize.
That's okay.
It's so when is it screening up in Park City? And I hear like, so there's going to be a pretty big group of you all coming out for it, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be great.
The premiere's on Saturday night, January 20th at 6:45. It'll screen again on the 25th in the afternoon at 2:15. Will's going to be there. Some of the actors are going to be there. Charles, who did the music, is going to be there. Danny, just all the different people who worked on it. Danny Madden, who did some amazing sound design work on the film. I also put my parents in the movie just for fun. We filmed in Texas. They live in Oklahoma now. And they were like a short drive away. And they always like want to visit me on film sets and get to see it.
Yeah.
And usually like you don't want that. But I thought like, you know what? If they came down, I could actually also put them in it, which is actually an insane thing to do. And I don't really recommend directing your parents. It was very intense. Even though they did great and people really liked my mom's performance, they really like her character that she plays. But directing her was a once in a lifetime experience for myself. But they're you know, thankfully going to come. I can't wait to bring my parents up for the Q&A. That's going to be very fun.
That's going to be fun. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm excited for you. I mean, what would you, so coming up to Slam Dance, have you been there before? Like, tell me about what you're most excited about coming up to it. I know it's back at the original venue this time, which I'd never, you know, that was years ago. So I don't think any of us have been to that. So I'm excited to see, you know, a familiar festival, but different. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I also hadn't been to Slam Dance at this old venue. At the original venue, I have this incredible, I can't believe it's a real memory. Like, it feels like I must have seen this on a TV show or had this in a dream. But I went to Slam Dance and, man, was that 2017 or 2020? Which I forget which year it was, but it was a shorts block that I went to, you know, all these like short films, and they were doing the Q&A. And then one of the directors of one of the shorts, his girlfriend partner was his producer, I think. And when they were asking, people were asking the questions, and he's like, actually, I have a question to ask. And he got down on one knee and proposed.
Oh, that's
it was incredible. And of course, and she said yes. And everyone,
oh, good. I was like, that so would be beautiful. Horrible.
But like, it was shocking. To see something in real life that so often we see, like,
that's
in movies or something.
We get a bunch of filmmakers, you know, Slam together.
Dance, yeah, Slam Dance brings the magic. I'm sure they'll bring it again this year, and maybe somebody else will get engaged. It could be, beautiful. I don't think it's going to be me, but maybe somebody else will do that for us.
I love that. So where can people follow the journey of the film, kind of keep up with what's happening, you know, eventually when it's released? Website, so any social media you want to mention?
I mean, I am on Instagram, just my name, PETOHS. And then I created a Instagram for the movie, which doesn't have many followers. And I don't know how really active it'll be, but it certainly will be a place for continued updates about what's going on with the film. And that's Love and Work Movie.
Wonderful. Well, we'll have links to all that where people can check it out.
Yeah.
Again, Pete, thank you so much for being on the show. Love and Work is the film. I loved it, and I'm excited for people to see it up at Slam Dance. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for watching. I'm really glad you enjoyed it.